What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum, as well as they've got some mints. Helps with energy and focus. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. They've been proven to help with memory and focus. I like to chew them, you know, really all the time. If I'm driving around showing houses, if I ever need like a little pick-me-up and I don't feel like grabbing another energy drink or coffee, I'll just pop a piece of NeuroGum. It's about 40 milligrams of caffeine. Sometimes I'll chew it when I work out. But yeah, get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Also, shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. For all the great products that they have, specifically surrounding men's grooming and our beards. They've got different balms, butters, oils, and things like that, all made with natural ingredients, with only about a handful of natural ingredients. And the smells are amazing. So it's keeping your beard healthy and looking good, as well as smelling good. I always like to joke, it makes your girlfriend want to kiss you. But also body washes, deodorants, candles, all sorts of things. So shout out to Captain Beard Co.
Yeah, and we actually have a promo code for that. I believe it's just Zach and Pat for, I think, 10% off. Yep. Yeah, so get out there and try some Captain Beard Co. Now to introduce our awesome guest today. He is the owner, coach, and trainer of Team Andonoff Coaching, the great and powerful Tony Andonoff. Thank you for, Tony, thanks for coming for joining on, man. Us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely, man. We're happy to have you. You definitely kind of saved the day here for us. So I guess if you could just kind of tell the people listening a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a St. Louis, been here my whole life, resident. So 55, almost 56 years now. So proud resident of the St. Louis area. Kind of grew up in the South County area and went to Melville High School.
Okay.
If anybody knows that area.
Yeah, I went to Oakville.
Hey, there you go. My wife's a Lindbergh.
Murph went to Melville.
Oh, I didn't know Murph went to Melville. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Murph, a little Melville graduate. You're here. Except I was back in 1986. So a little bit dated there, guys.
That's okay.
So, yeah, proud father and husband. And, you know, my daughter actually joined me today. She's sitting on the couch over here.
Yeah.
But my daughter's 19, been married 21, almost 22 years. Very happy. Woman of my life. So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, man.
It's great.
Well, tell us a little bit about your business, because I know you've kind of recently left like kind of corporate America and started your own business. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I did. So my journey is a little bit back in the mid 40s, roughly. I kind of took health and fitness to another level for myself, kind of started cutting out the crappy foods that isn't really good for our body, right? And really dialed down and less alcohol and things like that, that would affect me as I get older. Right. So started to get those pains in areas that we didn't typically have as we were in our 20s and 30s. Right? So, I really took a focus in on my health and fitness, kind of got, involved with a company here locally called First Form, as far as just learning ways to eat, count macros and things like that. So that kind of really spun me into the direction of, getting to the point where I even stepped on stage, started competing in bodybuilding shows, which if you had asked me that in my 30s or 40s, I would have said that would never happen. So kind of did a little bit backwards, where a lot of people that, you know, they played high school sports, things like that, they aren't good enough to go to that next level, let's say in college or even after that. So then they kind of lean on, you know, bodybuilding, and that's the next challenge. So for me, I just did a little different. I did a lot later in life and really got a lot of inspiration from a lot of local people. Mentors, kind of an industry that I got to know. And then that leads me to my first competition. I worked with a gentleman named Brian Teach, some of you may know, over at First Form, and really showed me kind of how what the sport was about. And it was a really cool experience. And then I just graduated from there, got my own coach outside of St. Louis, who lives in Springfield, and did really a lot of good things with him. And then he basically said one day, hey, why don't you look at coaching. I think you'd be really good at it. You have the personality for it. You're engaging as far as like people like to be around you, things like that. And you have a ton of knowledge. So that started off about just a little less than 3 years ago.
Okay.
I started my online coaching business. I really wasn't doing personal training at any gym, one-on-one. Kind of started around COVID. So as you know, that's kind of when the, well, you may know or may not know, but that's when online coaching business kind of really took off in the industry and started to make a lot of people, you know, go into that as a career. So it kind of got crazy all over the world where it's a lot, that platform really opened up. It really wasn't a thing 15 years ago. And it became a big, big way, a good way to people connect and actually get the information they need, not only from nutrition advice, but supplement advice, blood panels, and how to get their blood work done, all these types of things. It opened up a segue for a new business model for a lot of people. It did for me as well.
So I guess that was just because, you know, everybody was online. People were stuck at home. They, you know, couldn't really go to, I mean, so now when you're coaching people in COVID, I guess when gyms were shut down, were you doing kind of like online or like home workouts, or how did that work?
It's a great question. Actually, what really happened is I was really fed up, as maybe you guys were as well, where I was in a big neighborhood. You're in a big neighborhood, mm-hmm. Zach, and people weren't walking. They weren't leaving their house. They weren't exercising. It was just driving me crazy because I'm like, I'm built that way. Like, I've got to be moving. I've got to be doing something for my health. So I just put on, I put a message out. I had never coached or taught boot camps at all. So I'm just like, hey, I'm going to throw this out here. So I said, I want to get a boot camp together in a cul-de-sac similar to what you live in here. Yeah. And I put that on our Facebook page for our neighborhood. And I had a lot of responses from moms, and they wanted to get their kids out and stuff like that. So I just said, hey, come on out, $5 a family. And 100% of that money is going to go back to charity. So I was able to, over a couple of months during that period when gyms were all shut down, I had people meeting in a cul-de-sac and doing a Saturday morning boot camp.
Oh, I love that.
So that's awesome. That's kind of what kicked off me going into coaching and just honestly just feeling my way through it. You know, I've been to a lot of seminars. I travel to go to seminars. I pay for those. Obviously, I've got certifications with functional health, things like that. But I just didn't have I did it kind of backwards. Like I said, I started with online instead of in-person training. Mm. I had the in-person training ability. Because I had spent so many years in the gym and in the trenches learning from top bodybuilders and other people that I worked out next to. Heck, I worked out next to Andy, right. Ryan Teach, Sal, all those guys. When they first one was just starting out, I worked out at the same gym as them. So,
right.
And there's people before that. So I learned a lot of these things just by being around the right people.
That's crazy. That's awesome. So when did you like first get into fitness? Because you said you weren't really into it at a younger age. Like at what point did you start like working out? Was that something you kind of always did like in your younger years, but like really started taking it seriously like in your like mid 40s?
It's a great. This is wild. So when I first fell in love with the with fitness and or that mentality is 1976.
Okay,
I went to the theater. It's actually Ronnie's Drive-In Theater back in the day.
Ronnie's was a drive-in back?
Yes, yes.
Really? I didn't know that.
My father, my mother took myself, my older sister, and my younger sister to the drive-in. We saw Rocky. Okay. First one.
Oh, yeah.
I was 8 years old. Yeah. I went home and I drank raw eggs 8 years old. I never lifted a weight in my life, guys. Yeah. And then that's when I fell in love with health and fitness, to be honest. But I had no idea what I was doing for many, many years. My dad served in the military, and he knew calisthenics. He didn't know anything about weights, never lifted a weight in his life. So he was in the Marines. But so for me, it was just getting around the gym environment when I was 15, 16, having my mom sign me up at Executive Fitness, I think it was called. It used to be next to a Mademoiselle, if anybody remembers that name back in the day, for any older folks that listen to this. And that was in off of Lime.
Okay.
So that kind of started me out. It was back in high school, but I was a string bean. I say string bean. You could take your finger and put it around my bicep. That's how small my arms are.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was a skinny, skinny kid. I wore slim pants and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, typical guy. I was picked on a little bit because I was super skinny and stuff like that. So that kind of gave me that rough or hard exterior and said, hey, I just want to do better, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did. I wasn't naturally a built guy. I worked my whole life on building my body, my upper body, of course. So it wasn't something that came easy to me. But that kind of gave me a lot of perseverance through my life. Fitness has been like the great segue, as I say, throughout my life. And that's what took me into coaching is I just want to get back and help others be as healthy as possible. I don't care if you're 65-year-old. One of my clients, 62 right now, he had a stroke when he was 47. I'm working with him now just to try to get him back to be able to golf because he loves to golf. So I'm helping him with weights. And I mean, I'm not working. He's not a bodybuilder, but right. I'm trying to get him quality of life. Right. So there's tons and there's millions of people out there that need help like that. So it's not just.
Just bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding. Clients. Oh, yeah. No, man. It's the general population needs a lot of help in our country. And we talked about this. I mean,
yeah, right before the show.
Before we got on, we talked about just our food supply. And I really take a lot of time into diving in. It's like it's my calling in life to learn as much as I can about nutrition, watching, learning, studying. I mean, that's what I do. You know, when I have downtime on my phone, I'm looking up podcasts and looking up different people that are more qualified than I am. So I'm always constantly learning so I can bring value to my clients or even guys just sit in front of me like we are today, like when we had a coffee last week, you know, into each other. It's like, what can I bring to the table that can make somebody a healthier individual tomorrow than they were today? That's what I care. That's my passion. That's what I do. So that's what got me out of corporate America. I couldn't just go sell stuff just to sell it.
Just to make money or whatever.
Right. That's not right. You weren't passionate about it. And I don't coach for the money. The money's a byproduct of what I do, right? I have to make a living for my family, for my beautiful daughter and my wife and my animals, right? So, but I do it because I truly love it. There's nothing I could do. I've never been happier right now, which is crazy to say because I'm almost 56 years old. It's the happiest I've been in my entire life. Dude, makes me emotional thinking about it because I really struggled a lot with finding my happiness as I was younger.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is I think we've seen a big shift and, you know, I'm going to credit a lot of that to like First Form and the stuff that they put out there, but, and maybe it's just what I follow on social media, but I feel like as a whole, the community is getting healthier in terms of what they're watching and what they're eating really since COVID. But no, that's awesome that you're doing this now. And I think a lot of people forget how important nutrition is. It's not just getting into the gym, but how important nutrition is. I mean, for me, like I go to the gym and work out because I look at it more of as like a mental workout. Yeah. Like that's everything for me. Like that's the biggest thing that I need. And I struggled a lot with the nutrition side of things once I retired from baseball and started working with a nutritionist earlier this year. And it's been great. You know, what are some myths that you hear or that you've come across in the nutrition side of things that you would like to dispel?
Myths?
Yeah.
It's more just misinformation than it is myths.
Okay, misinformation. Like, what's some misinformation like, that you've heard that you would like to prove wrong?
Do just as much cardio as you can and you're going to get in good shape. It's not the truth. I mean, you have to have resistance training as part of the program. If you're not doing some kind of weights, cables, body weight, lifting your own body, the push-ups, pull-ups, heck, you can do pull-ups off the side of a house. I mean, there's so many different things you can do. You don't have to pick up, you know, dumbbells or big bar weights, things like that. So to get healthy, weights is definitely a big part of it. The biggest, and this isn't necessarily a myth, it's just this is reality of it, is from working with my clients, working with my own body, because I'm a guinea pig for fitness, okay? I've tried carnivore. Zach's tried it. We've talked about it. I've tried, you know, and been successful with these things. I've been successful with keto. 23 weeks of keto when I did my first show, which is insanity. Looking back at it, I would never do that again. I wouldn't have a client of mine who wanted to get on a bodybuilding stage 23 weeks of, because it's just too taxing on the body to not have carbs for that long, in my opinion. But I was successful at doing it, but I also was able to realize now that going into something like, and we're kind of getting away from the question you asked.
That's right. No, you're fine. No, go for it.
But basically with keto, is it, you want to do it in spots. I believe that 6-8 weeks at a time is excellent for resetting your insulin sensitivity within your body. So what does that mean? That means clean fats, get rid of seed oils. I don't care if you're in keto or not. There is no reason to put a seed oil. It's the closest thing to petroleum that you're putting into your body. There's nothing good. All the research you want out there, and there's nothing good about corn oil, soy oil. Soybean oil, cottonseed oils, all those types of oils are just absolutely horrible. Oh, they're horrible for our body, guys.
Do you recommend like an avocado oil type or?
Avocado oil for if you're going to heat it. Coconut oil if you're going to heat it. If you're going to have one of the best single origin, very important, single origin extra virgin olive oil. Because there are blended olive oils, you don't want that stuff. You want single origin. So,
single origin.
And if you want it to be cold pressed, it's going to be cold. Is best with on salads, things like that. Heck, if you drink a teaspoon of it, it's good. It's really good for you. So that's going to help keep inflammation down. You don't want the things that are going to put inflammation in your body. That's going to be seed oils and sugars. Mm. So processed carbs, processed breads, things like that. If you do see bread, you want to stay with like an Ezekiel or sprouted bread, something like that. If you're going to have breads, then you want to do that. So a lot of people start getting flour. Believe it or not, you can order flours from Italy.
Right.
There's nothing in it.
Heirloom wheat.
Right? Yep. You can make a freaking pizza with that, guys, and you won't be bored afterwards. You eat the whole darn thing.
Oh, wow.
It's just amazing.
It's what we've done to our agriculture here. Over the last 100 years. If you look at it, our monocrop agriculture is something that's not supposed to be here. You know, like if you look at it in nature, you don't see fields of anything like naturally occurring. And we've done that as a society over the last century or so, you know, where you go, you drive by these giant fields of corn, these giant fields of soybeans or whatever it is, that doesn't normally exist like that in nature. And they're basically reusing that soil over and over and over again. And that soil like doesn't have any of the nutrients left. So like there's, I forget what you call it, but, it's like the opposite of monocrop agriculture where essentially they'll like move every year. They like move where they plant it. And then they have, you know, your farm animals essentially like go and like dig up and they fertilize it with their poop. And then they dig all the roots out and they basically they're the ones tilling the soil. And that's kind of more naturally how it's supposed to be done. There's a word for that type of regenerative farming, I think is what it's called. White Oaks Pastures is one that I've heard them talk about. He's been on Rogan a couple times. And that's where I'm basically just regurgitating things that I've heard off there.
Yeah.
That's
how we all learn, right?
Right, right,
that's
for how sure.
We get better. We take that knowledge and then we use that knowledge to better,
right,
better
but,
humans.
So, I mean, supposedly, you know, if they say that that's the better way, I mean, when you think about it, it makes sense. Like we're not, if you go out in an untouched, you know, field that hasn't been farmed, you're going to see all sorts of things out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that argument that, you know, if you look at the rise of like the Impossible Burger and all these other like fake meats and stuff that, you know, the vegan and like vegetarian kind of craze that's going on, you know, they don't think about how much damage that those monocrop agriculture, you know, whenever like those big combines are driving through, ripping up all the wheat, how many like small animals get whipped up in that stuff, small fawns and like ground nesting birds and all these things. You know, that's, I mean, think about how many animals are decimated from that versus like, you know, a cow that gets slaughtered and feeds hundreds of, you know, 100 people or whatever, or probably not 100 people, but you know what I mean? It's, there's a lot out there that's, I mean, kind of, misinformation, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
That's the thing about social media, right? I mean, we could see a lot of misinformation. I mean, you could, heck, when you're talking about the genre I'm talking about with nutrition and things like that, you're going to hear all kinds of things out there. You got to do your own research. You got to look at things like PubMed, and, mm-hmm. You know, look at, you know, science-based things that actually back this, things that people are saying. And some people are just flippant in what they say because they're just trying to build a name for themselves. I think you got to do due diligence before you do that. I mean, we notice that. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole of politics, but you see that happening every day in politics. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody's just jumping on and it's like, it's just so much division. And it's actually the most disgusting thing going on in our country right now.
It's
the division.
Terrible.
I hate it. I can't stand it. And I wish we could just get rid of politics. But
yeah,
it's enough to settle on that because it's just, yeah, it's just, there's nothing. It doesn't seem like there's much positive coming out of it anymore. And then when you're hearing about lobbyists, like I told you about Tucker's conversation that you guys can go research, but he came out with the surgeon who quit. Basically quit healthcare altogether, which is a shame because she was a surgeon and just didn't like the way the industry was going and how we're just poisoning people and pharmaceutical companies were just doing things that quite honestly is just ungodly,
right.
And just destroying people's lives for money. And it's disgusting to me.
Well, I mean, you just look, turn on the TV and you're going to see probably two or three commercials every commercial break that's going to be some sort of medicine or pharmaceutical. And it's just, it's crazy. It's
what really gets me is how people see, and there's certain medications in certain situations that are needed. Right. And,
right.
And our healthcare as a whole, it's just got a lot of holes in it. But we need it. We're still more advanced than anywhere else in the country, in the world, but, certain surgeries you need, things like that. But most of the drugs, I mean, you got 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 interactions that are effects that they can have on your body that are negative. Right. You know,
well, like Ozempic craze going on.
I'm not a fan. I've learned it all. I've learned a lot. I've read a lot about it. The good, the bad, the ugly. And mm-hmm. it seems like the ugly outweighs the good to me. You know, somebody's got a ton of comorbidities. They're 600 pounds and they've tried everything in the world and they can't, I could maybe see them using it. I'm not a fan for spot duty and stuff. Cause there's even people in the industry that I'm in and they'll do it for spot duty and
you'll see creeping spot up. Duty.
They're going for somebody at bodybuilding and they want to get an extra 5 pounds off them. They might throw that in there for 3 or 4 weeks.
Really?
The way I coach and there's a ton of great coaches out there. I mean, a lot of people more advanced than I am, but I coach holistically in the sense of what is this person going to look like in 15 years from now and what I'm teaching them right now. So if I'm teaching them right now just to win this competition, am I really doing them a service? So you know what? If I teach them all this stuff now, they have a baseline, and 15 years from now, they're going to be better off for it, and they never come back to me but one time, then I did my job. That's what I look at. Not everybody doesn't think that way. They might be like, hey, I'll just give them their food, and they go eat it, and then they'll fall off track, and they'll come back to me in 6 months, and I get more money. I don't really look at it like that. I think you got to – and it doesn't make me better than anyone else. It's just the way I like to coach. I think it's really important to take that and not just, hey, they want a competition. I got more clients because of that. It doesn't matter how I got them to that situation or got them that win or what I did to their body. I'm just not a fan of that approach because I think I don't want to get that call, hey, XYZ died for this reason and had anything to do with me. I want to mitigate any chance of something like that ever happening.
Well, there's a lot more longevity in that, you know?
Well, I guess that's the word, longevity, is what I kind of teach.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my mindset.
If I look at, you know, what I mean, because I, you know, when I first started getting affiliated with First Form, probably right around the same time you did, you know, I learned how to count macros and all these like skills that I learned from them. And I mean, even that's still stuff that I use, I mean, to this day, I mean, I've been tracking my macros now for, I mean, you know, kind of on and off for like, you know, almost 10 years. But like, I always know it's always something I can always go back to. And like, I know how to do it. And it's like, I look at food and it's like, okay, I know the safe, they're just the basics of like looking at a food and know, all right, that's a carb food. That's a fat food. That's a protein food. Okay. That food might have fat and protein, but like, you know, there's a lot of foods that have both, but usually one macronutrient is the dominating factor of that, whatever food that is. And you can just always kind of go back to that. And it's something that just like clicks and makes sense and it's easy to do. And you know, kind of that whole flexible dieting thing, you know, I mean, you know, that's what I do. But
it weighs into an aha moment for me is why in the heck, I mean there's so many people out here doing what I do, hundreds of thousands probably, why are we not putting this in some kind of a classroom format and teaching this in starting in middle school?
Yeah, 100%.
Same thing. In our schools, macros. This is what a macro is. Right. You know how many clients I take on that don't even know what a macro is?
Right. It sounds like this crazy thing.
I don't work with all premier like clients. Like I take on all types of clients. Like I said, I'll take on
bodybuilding versus bodybuilding. You know, soccer mom Susie down the street that just wants to look better at the pool this year.
And those people do not know anything about macros. They don't even know what it is.
Right. She's just used to, you know, I just need to eat 1200 calories and do 45 minutes of cardio every day, you know, or whatever. Right, that's how I get in shape.
Right.
Or I just eat a salad and that, you know, that's all I eat. 2 protein shakes and a salad. Like that would be something that, you know, I could see. And a lot of people I know, you know, that I grew up with or around, like that would be like their version of dieting. Like, oh, I'll just eat a salad for lunch, a protein bar for breakfast, and I'll eat a normal dinner. Like that's what, like, that's something pretty, like I've seen my parents do something like that before, you know, like that's a pretty normal thing that I've, you know, seen people do. And I'm sure you have a lot of experience seeing people, you know, doing that and kind of correcting them on it and training them. But like, no, this is the way you do it. Just you got to put, you know, it's, I mean, the apps that we have now are just to make it so easy, you
it
know,
does.
Especially you can scan it. You can scan the barcode.
My Fitness Pal is amazing. I use that thing all day, every day.
Yeah. The thing is, you got to be in it for the long term. I teach lifestyle, mindset. You said, been tracking off and on, that's what you need to do. So let's say you hold yourself accountable. Let's say you're a female, your goal weight is 135 pounds. You get to 135 pounds. Typically what you see in the industry, Oprah would be like, okay, the ups and the downs is they'll get to that point, but then they don't know how to stay there or within that 10 pound radius up or down. Mm-hmm. So what I teach is through back rows and things like that. Okay. Once you're done, whether it be a show season or it's just a season of, hey, we're going to get to this place. Now, how do we reverse out of that? Because you're not going to keep a female. I won't take anyone at 1,200 calories. That's ridiculous. Because that's the hormonal damage that does to women. They don't realize the body, the damage it does to their body to be on those low of calories for any extended period of time does irreparable damage. Sometimes it takes years to recover from that. So they have to have fat. Their bodies need fat. Not like the bad fats or the seed oils or the fat being, you know, out of whack. They need fat for hormones to work properly, for the testosterone to work. Yes, women need testosterone, progesterone, their estradiol or estrogen. They need all that stuff. And when you cut out fats, you're going to really cripple those areas. Well, having a low fat diet for a long period of time, the hormones get destroyed in females. And they don't know that. The soccer mom, even, they don't know that. They just lose the weight. And then when they start to add that stuff back in, they don't add it in properly because they haven't been educated properly. And so then they gain that 40, 50 pounds. And then that's why they do this all the time. Mm. And so really it's educating your clients or educating the person you have an opportunity to, even if it's just walking in the gym and I see a woman and maybe struggling and just asks me a question, give out that advice and help them become better, whether they hire you or not. That's beyond the point. It's like, I just want people to be healthier and more fit and just give them real advice, not like, hey, do this and you'll lose 20 pounds in a month, but then they don't know where to go after that.
Right.
So like, it's really how to make it a lifestyle and how to stay within a range. Cause I keep myself in a range. I think you do too as well. So like when I get to, for instance, when I get up to 205 or 206, I get the gut check at that time. Mm-hmm. Then I start honing in on my macros and I hit my macros again. So yeah. I know, but just by looking in the mirror, I know my body after doing this several times. Yeah. The person you work with the first time that happens, they're not going to do it, but you need to support them mentally, psychologically, and be like, hey, this is why, this is what you need to do, and you can stay on this, you can do this. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have a burger, you can't have a pizza, you can't have an alcoholic beverage sometimes. And those things can be worked into anyone's program.
Yeah, track
just,
it.
It's just yeah. don't
That's
be,
what I do.
Yeah, just don't be flippant with it.
It's all about moderation.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
it's okay, you can have a pizza, you know, you can eat, you know, just don't make it every day.
I had a pizza like, last night. I mean, right, shit. Yeah. I had a cauliflower pizza last night. I ate the whole freaking thing. Yeah. But I took a glucose disposal agent afterwards, and I didn't have 4,000 calories early in the day before right. I ate
that. I plan my
pizza
day around it, right. You know? Yeah. Like, that's one thing I'm always, if I know, like, all right, well, for example, like the other, like on Saturday, yeah. I mean, we got a lot of hand on Saturday, let's just say, with our food. I mean, you maybe didn't, but I did. Because we did a live podcast here and watched the fights and we had a couple buddies over and we did like a live podcast during it and, you know, ordered pizza in the middle of it. And so, but right before that, we went out for sushi because I didn't know we were going to be eating here. And I'm like, oh, well, there's pizza here. I'm not going to not eat any. And it was just, but you know, you have days like that and it's okay. You know, like I still made it to the gym every day this week. I'm right. still feeling good. You know, it's right. like there's, I'm
didn't You're kill living.
Me. I'm yeah. living, yeah. you know, right. it's like, I'm not gonna, I didn't, you know, it's just, what I see, when I run into issues, it's like when you start, it starts kind of a spiral, you know, where you have one bad day that leads into another bad yes. day that leads into another bad day. And it's like, you gotta stop that shit right then. So it's yeah. like, if you have a bad meal, like, all right, well, the next one's a good one. You know, right. like if I eat like shit the night before, it's like, well, I'm waking up and I'm eating really healthy the next day and I'm going to the gym and I'm making the next day perfect. You right. know, like that's at least that's how I do it. You know, if I get off track one meal, I make sure the next one's a good one. You know, like that's I just try not to let that spiral start because I know that for myself, like that's where I see myself where it gets out of hand for me. And well, I feel like other people can relate to that.
I tell a lot of people, you just got to have a why. Why are you doing it?
Right.
Why do you want to be healthy and fit? I want to run around. Young lady over here, hopefully I'll be graced with grandchild or two mm-hmm. at some point. I want to be able to run around and have fun with them.
Of course.
Right. I want to be able to go out in a boat and jet ski and do stuff with them. I don't want to just be sitting in a chair, you know?
Right.
So you have to think that way. As a human species, we are lazy.
Absolutely.
So you have to work at being, going out, getting sunlight, the importance of just getting outside and get the sun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's why I can never live in like a, somewhere where it's a cold and rainy and dreary, like a Seattle or something. I just couldn't do it. Yeah. I know it's a beautiful city, but I just couldn't live there. I thrive off of light. I think most human beings are the same way. We just need it.
Vitamin D, man.
Light's brought up in the Bible like 240 times. It's light is everything. That's what creates food. It's what creates animals, human species. Without light, we have nothing. If it's darkness all the time. So think about that as you go through your day. Like, how can I get more? light into my life, and spiritually as well. But we won't go that necessarily that direction. But I'm talking about more just the outside, just actually light.
I'm just getting that light, vitamin D.
I mean 78% of the people that were killed, like that passed away from COVID, I believe it was, were like vitamin D deficient. And where do we get vitamin D? It's from the sun. It's not really a vitamin. It's actually a hormone, right?
It is. And actually, 2 out of 3 clients that I work with on average, when I get their blood panels back, they're deficient in vitamin D. So I almost put everybody on at least 5,000 IUs a day, which is very simple, very inexpensive.
One pill,
that and magnesium.
Yep.
If you want to go down that segue, those are 2 things almost every human should be taking, some kind of magnesium glycinate. It's a really good version. There's citrate, which is really going to help you open you up as far as going to the restroom, things like that. Mm. There's different grades of magnesium, but glycinate is very good to relax the body and help you sleep. I recommend taking up to 400 milligrams or 500 milligrams of glycinate in some fashion, a powder form or a pill form, every night, an hour before bed. So I tell everybody to put that in because it just helps relax your body. And we all want to be relaxed. We'll have better sleep when we do that. Now, it's not the end-all, be-all. It's not a magic pill. I'm not saying that you're going to sleep phenomenal just because you have magnesium, because you may have other things going on in your body that would have to be figured out, right? What's your life like? You have a high stress life. Stress, some people think stress is just emotional. Some people, they don't realize when you exercise all the time, that's a huge stressor on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we talk recovery with all my clients. Like, you can't work out, ladies, you can't work out 6 days a week. You're down regulating your body. You need time to recover. And that's, they think the more I work out, the more cardio I do, the better shape I'm going to get. It destroys their body. Mm-hmm. They do that for 6 months in a row. They're going to be in a terrible spot. That's where they have hormone deficiencies and things like that happen. So there's so much information out there. I mean, it's crazy. I'm learning more every day.
Oh yeah.
I continue to learn.
Well, while we're on that subject, is there like a certain protocol? I mean, I would imagine every client's different, but like, is there a certain protocol as far as like supplementation or, certain things that you recommend everybody do, or like just general health and fitness stuff?
There is. For most of the clients that I work with, I always recommend, like I said, almost it's pretty rare that I don't recommend some vitamin D, multivitamin. It's here and there. Like if their diet's pretty good, honestly, and they're following a plan that I give them, they don't have to have a multivitamin. But magnesium, it's just more and more data coming out that it's a really beneficial in so many ways, especially as we age. Sleep becomes tougher and tougher. And let's be honest, we're in the United States, since go, 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 people think sleep is weak. It's not. I keep teaching people you need to sleep. Don't set an alarm. Don't set the alarm on the weekend. You're in a 7-day-a-week job. I mean, you run your own business. You're doing multiple things here, which is amazing, by the way. But yeah, if you can get more sleep and get that extra hour, do it whenever you can, because it's going to add years to your life. I truly believe that. So it doesn't mean you're lazy if you sleep.
Yeah.
There's a difference between you sleep, then you get up and you lay around for 4 hours. That's lazy.
Right.
Not, I slept 8-9 good hours. I went to bed at 2 a.m. and I slept till 11 or 10. Yeah. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, because you were up till 2 a.m. You're probably working. You weren't playing 5 hours of video games, let's hope. Right. So as long as you're productive in those hours you're awake and you're doing something to further yourself and your family, I believe in all that, take time to rest. Your body needs it, and it's gonna add years to your life. So sleep is the most
king.
It's the most underused and underutilized thing. Everybody wants this magic pill, this, that, and the other. And sleep, man. Sleep and maintain that stress. Figure out what that is, what was the thing you were talking about, the trips at like
ayahuasca,
a lot of ayahuasca, and the trips that I know the quarterback for the Jets is known for going on those sabbaticals and whatever. So whether it's that or just simply mindfulness, sitting in a room by yourself, decelerating, deep breathing is so important. We can be doing that throughout our day. We just had a stressful day. We went to a house, five contracts happened, and you didn't get the house. You wanted for your whatever. That's stressful, right? So take time driving in your car, deep breaths, hold that 10 times, 30 seconds, release it, breathe again. The breathing techniques are important. You can research all those things.
Well, it's amazing how many people don't really know the proper way to, there's a proper way of breathing. They don't use their diaphragm. They're not breathing in the proper way, and they're not fully oxygenating their body. That's a whole nother thing.
The first time I really got introduced to breathing was literally probably when I was in my early 20s when I was working out and I wasn't breathing while I was lifting. And a gentleman that was spotting me, he's like, dude, you got to breathe. So now it's really stuck with me. So I always, I'm working out clients and they're turning blue in the face. Like they're not, they're red. I mean, they're not breathing. I'm like, breathe out when you come up. You know, tempo is important. Tempo and breathing is so important when you're not exercising. You're sitting in your car.
Have you ever done one of those breathwork specialists?
I have never not directly, but I've used some of the apps and things like that. And I actually incorporate some of those apps with some of my clients, especially females that, they just got so much on, especially if they're mothers and everything, like they got so much on their plate. Right. And sometimes men, we don't realize sometimes what, you know, like your wife and, you know, have an infant and you're constantly worrying because now you have something else to be, honestly, you're worried about anytime you bring a child in this world, it's like, it changes your life forever. So you have those things that people don't realize that you got to work through those somehow. You have to get some relief as far as that stress that worry that you can carry around. Cause you don't want to be worried constantly. Cause I had a mom like that and it'll shorten your life. Just those things of the extreme worry and not being able to relax. Some people, they just relax by listening to music. That's another good thing to do. Some people, unfortunately, they tend to use alcohol for that. Mm-hmm. It's not the greatest method. Let's be honest. Have a glass of wine, maybe. Have a glass of wine every night. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But you know, there's things you can do. It's just educating yourself and then doing them and actually putting them into practice. Right. We can all talk about all this stuff.
Right.
You know, if you say vitamin D and then they only take it 3 days a week, well,
what's the point?
There's no sense. In, you know, doing it if you're going to work out, but you don't work out on a regular routine. Are you really doing anything? Are you really getting any better at it?
Yeah. Well, it's that consistency with, I mean, literally everything. I mean, whether it's business or whether it's fitness or whatever, it's
that book right there. Yeah. It's all about discipline. Jocko Willick, we all know what he practices, preaches discipline. So
yeah.
The importance of it. I mean, it can be talked about, but it can't, I don't believe it can be taught. I really believe just somebody taking onus and actually doing it. You can coach someone to do it, but discipline comes within.
Right. You gotta be willing to do it. You have to want to do it. You know,
you don't want to do it, you gotta do it.
Right.
That's the key. Do it anyway. I think Andy mentioned that years ago.
Oh, for sure.
David Goggins, that's all he's all about.
Yes.
Like, one of my favorite Mike Tyson lines when he was on Rogan, he was like, discipline isn't, you know, doing stuff that you don't want to do, or it's doing something that you don't want to do, but doing it like you love it. Which I was like, oh, I love that line.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good one, you know, because it's like, it's true, man. Like, I don't feel like going to the gym every single day, or I don't feel like making these calls every single day, but like, I do it like, and I do it like I love it, you know, and like, there's something to that. I wish, you know, more people would, you know, take that and implement it. Cause like, there's so many things that we look at and we want to do, and people say that they want to do this, they want to do that, but then they read the book or they do whatever, but then they never actually go out and implement it. And I mean, that's all of it right there. I mean, just knowing how to do it is just such a small portion. It's doing it is everything.
Implementation.
Yeah. I got to implement it. You know,
absolutely.
So. You said, so reading the questionnaire, you started your business at the end of this end of 23, correct?
No, it was more in 22.
More in 22. Okay. And let's see, you left your corporate job in
December.
In December.
Yep.
And what was that?
I worked with a company that dealt with small parts, nuts, bolts, fasteners, and setting up programs, shop setups for like trucking industry, things like that. So anything that they were going to use to repair their equipment in their facility, I set up programs for that. So
got it. Yep.
So full time with this year.
Coaching and training. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Coaching and personal training. Yep. And then I also, I wholesale supplement brands, a couple of them. And then I also work with, I'm a manager for a company called LifeWave, which is a newer technology to a lot of people in the fitness space. It became very popular, over in Asia because it's nothing about medication or injections or pharmaceuticals. So they kind of started and they really took off with more of your homeopathic and chiropractic setting, and actually opened in 2004. The gentleman who created it, his name's David Schmidt. He's actually a genius. If you research him, he used to be the number one contractor for the U.S. government. So done a lot of stuff, and now has turned to he's behind Elon Musk, has taken over that ahead of him. But really interesting company. So I won't go into depth into that, but it's you'll hear more and more of those that follow me. The positivity and what I've gotten out of that has been truly inspiring. And the way I've been able to help people that I work with.
It's called Life Waves.
Mm-hmm. Right. Life Wave.
Wave.
Yep. Yeah, it's it's going to end this year, $640 million company. It's private. It's the number one direct marketing company in the world as far as growth goes, which is crazy.
Yeah.
The fact that you can help people holistically without drugs, that right there is right up my alley. So that's what drew me to it. But I had incredible pain for 13 months until about 37 days ago. So I had, it's coming okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I can hear it.
And so like 37 days ago, I had extreme pain in my hip, into my groin, and believe it or not, into my testicle, which was not fun. So I had dealt with that where I had injections, cortisol. Everyone's heard about all those things, where they have knees, elbows, mm-hmm. things, shoulders. Did absolutely nothing for me. Did 30 chiropractic visits. And I believe in chiropractic, but I did 30 chiropractic visits and got no relief from it. So I was really to the point, I can go in depth of other things I did, but I had to take ibuprofen every day alongside CBD, which that's not something that's that important in my life, but I had to do it just to get rid of the pain. So then that caused me to be not productive. So I just couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, I was thinking of going to Mexico, how can I pay for like stem cell injections, things like that. It just anything to get rid of the pain. And I came across LifeWave from a holistic person who I met about 10 years ago. And she just reached out to me and said, hey, I know your wife, and you live a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, I know you've been dealing with a lot of pain. I've seen your post, and you should really try this out. So this patching technology is pretty interesting. Again, this isn't just, he hasn't bring me on to talk about some other company. He brought me on.
No,
to,
I want to hear all about it, man.
It's really cool. And, you know, in a nutshell, it brings out the, you're wearing a patch. So it's photo, photo modulation. So essentially what's in this patch, there's a light that it draws light out of your skin that actually kicks up your copper peptides. And I'm not a scientist, so I'm not as good at delivering this. I've only been doing it myself for 35 days, but I keep learning more and more.
Yeah.
It actually energizes or kicks on your copper peptides. This is done through clinical studies. So this is not a fly-by-night type of thing. Yeah, because it wouldn't be a $640 million company if it wasn't working for tons of people. So actually, long story short, the copper peptides kick back on pretty quickly in my body. Everybody's body responds differently. So depending on where they are in their, you know, do they have bad knees? Have they had cancer? Have they had a stroke in the past? Do they deal with psoriasis? Do they have, you know, have they had liver damage? I mean, there's all these types of things that people go through, right? So what the technology of X39, which is a particular patch I'm talking about that increases your copper peptides, what that technology does is it's going to actually, it can turn on your stem cells, your stem cells within your body. So that actually helps your body heal. So what it did for me is after 3 days of wearing this thing, I literally had no pain anymore, none. So it got rid of all my pain within 3 days. So in 3 days, I'm going, okay, I'm reaching out to this young lady who told me to try this. I tried it. I'm like, okay, it's placebo.
Right.
In my mind, you know. Blah, blah, blah. But literally over the last 13 months, there was only one time I can remember where I had 3 days where I didn't have pain in 13 months. And that's with all these therapies I was doing. So, like, it was crazy. So then as I kept using it, I'm like, more and more things were happening. And, you know, junctions in my back started to open up. My back was openly popping on its own without being adjusted. But it wasn't like, you would know, anybody that hears this would know, because if they've had back trouble, because it tends to, like, compress back to where it was. Once you get adjusted or moved, it goes back into that place, and it feels like it's filled up with fluid again, and there's inflammation, and you're like, ah.
Yeah,
and you feel like you're back to where you were, so you got to go get adjusted again to try to get it loosened up. Well, mine's just giving way, and I'm becoming more flexible again, and I feel like I can rotate where I can go and actually hit the golf ball the way I want again, stuff like that. So it's just crazy, and every day it seems like I've got something else happening better that's feeling better within my body. Knees aren't aching like they used to, things like that. So it's crazy what it's doing for me, and all I do is I just keep telling clients, friends, people that are struggling, their parents that are going through stuff, and, you know, hey, if you want to try this, I recommend it. It's, you know, it's not going to be as expensive as doing stem cells. Right. Stem cells aren't 100% guaranteed either.
No,
so,
not.
So I just, you know, I have a mother-in-law.
And they're expensive.
Yeah, super expensive. So, you know, where this is not. So, but anyway, if anybody ever wants to know more about it, I could shoot them videos just to reach out to me. My link is at Team Andonoff or at Tony Andonoff on Instagram. You guys can find me.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff. But that's really changed my life over the last couple of months. Not only because if you guys have had injuries from in the past, like, you know, I know you've injured yourself. You probably have from playing baseball. I'm not sure about Murph over here, but, you know, being in pain for a really long time from some kind of injury and you can't figure out how to fix it, it's debilitating. You get depressed.
Yeah.
Your body doesn't feel right. You're fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
Okay. If you've had stomach issues, it's fight or flight mode. You got gut issue. You're not healing yourself. Your body's not healing anymore. As we get older, our body tends to not want to heal itself. That's all stem cell related. Do all the research you want. It's all derived from stem cells. If your stem cells are damaged, they're not working. As we get older, we lose the vitality of our stem cells and kind of they dormant. They're never gone, but they lay dormant, meaning they're not doing their job anymore. That's why when you get a wound and you're 15 years old and you're like 5 days later, the thing's freaking healed. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is awesome. Now you get one in your 30s and it takes double the time. You get one in your 40s and 50s and it might take a month to heal. And then sometimes you get open wounds that don't heal at all. Seen this where you have diabetes and things like that. You get to open wounds in your legs. You're in your 70s, your 80s. This stuff's not healing anymore because your stem cells aren't working. Mm-hmm. So it's just really crazy. Ask me about this stuff if I ever get grace to able to come back onto your show or a different platform. In 2 months from now, I will probably have so much more information to share that can help people out there. Because again, all I care about is helping others. It's kind of why I feel like God put me on this earth is really just to give back, to help other people. Feel that deep in my heart. I felt that for a very long time. And so anything I could do, if life waves one thing, I'm sure there'll be other things that come about. Share that word. And, you know, if I can help people, then, you know, it just fills my cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, flipping the script on a little bit. So as a business owner, what are some of your biggest lessons that you've learned being a business owner? Or things that happened that you didn't expect, or
the biggest thing for me is the moving parts and having organization, you know, figuring out. So until you own a business and you guys all are in the same category, right? Until you do it and you keep consistently doing it, you don't realize that you have to fail so many freaking times to succeed. And I think even if you succeed at a level of an Ed Milette or an Andy Frisella or some of these people we know, they fail too, still.
Oh yeah.
So, and I guarantee they would tell you that if you ask them that everyone sees, you know, the highlight reels, but they all fail still. And it's about getting back up and just don't do that same thing again. Like, learn from your mistakes is the key along the way. That's what I would tell my daughter too. It's like, you're going to fail, but you have to get up and try. And every time you try and you fail, you're going to learn something. Sometimes it takes us longer in life to realize that stuff than, you know, depending about what your demographic is, who are you around? What kind of people do you put yourself around? Are you around people that are doing better than you in life? Are you one that stays around people that aren't doing as well as you? Because if you do that, you're never going to grow. Ask people like Kobe Bryant and all these other extremely incredible athletes. They, you know, they traded up. They put themselves in positions where they were around people that were better than them. Michael Jordan, you know, everyone knows the story about his height was eighth grade or high school. Basketball team,
didn't make the team. Didn't make the team, yeah.
You know, that probably is the driving force into making Michael Jordan who he was, if you ask him, or ask Tim Grover, because he would know, right?
Right.
That's probably what made him one of the core things that made him, like, doubt me.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on, somebody doubt me.
Give me fuel.
Because you know what? Give me the fuel. If somebody tells you can't do something, you know what? Go freaking do it.
It's like when he,
I'm wrong.
It was like when he came back after retiring from, and then went and played baseball. They're like, oh, he's washed up. He's not going to be able to come back and. Shit, look what he did.
Well, and he knew when he went and played baseball that he was going to have to be humble about it. He knew he was going to not be that good at it. Yeah, so, right. But he was willing to take that chance and take that leap of faith. Heck, you went into real estate. You didn't know what the heck real estate was 4 years ago, probably, right?
No.
So, I mean, you weren't restaurant. You were just trying to find your way, man. So, but you tried different things, and that's the key to life. You got to keep trying different things until you find something. My daughter's 19. She doesn't know what she wants to do yet. What 19-year-old does?
Yeah, you should, I mean.
Pretty
rude. I'm 31 and I don't know what I want to do.
Exactly. Right. It's crazy, right? So don't, I tell young people, don't put all the pressure on yourself. Just do and try different things and you'll figure it out.
Figure it out eventually.
You'll figure it out.
You just got to swing the bat though, man. You got to swing it. Because otherwise you're just going to sit there and you're going to get, You know, you're not going to get walked. You're just going to go right back to the dugout, you know?
That's why I personally think, like, college, I mean, it's such a trap because they're forcing you at a young age to pigeonhole yourself into this education that you're probably never going to use.
Right.
And you're going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for it. And, I mean, I knew that I loved money and I loved math. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do something that is around that. Doesn't mean I'm going to go into that as a future, which I did. But, right. Yeah, I went and... I'm like, finance, that's right up my alley. That's money, math. So, like, I'm going to do something like, I don't know. I think I bet entrepreneurship is probably one of the growing majors within colleges, if I had to guess.
I think since COVID, I think entrepreneurialism has grown immensely from everything I've seen and heard. The corporate America piece is not for everybody.
No.
And it's probably for less people than you realize. Being told what to do. How to do it all the time, I don't think I'd ever go back to it. Grant, I'm closer to a retirement age. And that's one thing I do want to touch on is I have friends that are thinking about retiring or getting close to retiring. Like, it doesn't even cross my mind. Not because I can't do it financially. That's one reason. But the other reason is I just don't want to sit in a chair and do nothing.
I've always said to Gina, it's like, I don't ever see my, like, from real estate, like, I don't really ever see myself retiring from real estate. Like, yeah, there'll be a point in my life where I probably don't, I'm not closing 50 houses a year.
Right.
You know, but. I don't ever see myself just sitting around, like, the whole, you know, that whole vision of retirement, like margaritas on a beach. I think Jordan Peterson says margaritas on a beach or whatever, you know, he's like, for how long? Like, how long you want to do?
A couple days before you go do something else.
Yeah. Like, even going to vacation down in Florida or something for a week, like a day two or three, I'm sitting around, I'm like, okay, what are we doing today? We're just going to sit here and just watch the waves come in. Like, I got to do something because otherwise I just get bored. I need to be moving. I need to be doing. I need to be doing something.
You need to fulfill a purpose.
Right.
You know, you mentioned being 19 and not knowing what you want to do. I mean, I picked up a camera 2 years ago this summer, and after only like 6 months of doing it, I started a business around it. Did I have any clue what I was doing? No. No.
Well, you're probably, Murph, I've ran into you at events that I didn't even know you were going to. I didn't know you doing this podcast and hosting this for them, these guys, and doing the work. And it's great that you say that. I hope my daughter's listening to this, because, like, literally you don't she's not a huge fan. She's going to college. She's doing online. Not a huge fan of school, and I'm like, it's okay.
Just
figure out something. Like, she's talked about real estate, she may talk to you. Sure, she's got other people have talked to me. She has a friend from high school that's into real estate. So there's so many things you can do. You just do what you love. Like, find out what that passion is.
Yeah, what do you like? What do you like to do? What do you like to do for fun? And then make a job around it. Figure out a way to create money from that.
The cool thing is about your generation, too, if those of you can't see, there is another person here today. we have a guest star today. Yeah. The cool thing is, too, though, and this is one of those things that Andy has, like, talked about so much, is that, like, it's not like the rite of passage that it was in, like, my parents. My mom's, because my mom was a single mom, she called me to cry about something when I stepped out originally. And she was like, I don't care what you want to study. I don't care what you want to do. You just got to get your college degree, which is the worst thing you could have ever told your child. I don't care what makes you happy. I don't care what you say. I studied English. English is useless if you're not going to be a librarian or a teacher, which I am neither. But, like, eventually I was just like, well, I might disappoint my mom by dropping out, but, like, I want to go work for First Form. And I did that. And it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about entrepreneurship because I got to learn from really good people. And then I got to spend a lot of time with content creators, and now I'm a full-time content creator. And it's so much more than point and shoot. It's, how do I tell a story? How do I help someone build their brand? How do I help people bring a podcast to life?
Go out on that degree probably helped a little bit with this in terms of content creating. And
it definitely refined my speaking ability and my communication skills. So I can give you credit for that.
Yeah.
But it also cost me $36,000.
Right.
that I didn't finish. So.
Yeah. There's so much to do now.
You said it earlier. It's crazy that, you know, at 18, they want you to not only figure out what you want to do with your, like, you better figure it out right now. You decide on your major, or you're going to fall behind. But not only that, but they're going to, you know, most likely you're going to get slapped with a bunch of debt.
Right.
You know, that like, you gotta, you know, one of the craziest things is, like, I mean, you're putting yourself in debt to get a job to pay off that debt. And it's like, man, this seems kind of backwards.
Right.
Like, let's figure out what we want to do. And, like, okay, do I need to get into debt to do that? And if I don't, okay, then let's not get into debt. Let's go right into that field or whatever it is. But it just doesn't make a ton of sense that, you know, I mean, because if you look at, I mean, the student loan debt in this country is absurd. I don't know the number, but I know it's, I mean, it's in the billions, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
We as a country are in $36 trillion worth of debt. So a cost to that, the fact that inflation on a college degree has been going up and up and up and up and up.
It's so dumb.
Since the government subsidizes those loans.
It's so dumb how expensive colleges.
Well, then the only loans that you can't get, or it's the only debt that you can't, like, bankrupt when you file bankruptcy, that you can't get rid of. Even if you die, the people that are left behind, you are slapped with that debt now.
This is why government subsidization is a bad
thing. Yeah.
Just saying. That's your libertarian philosophy of the day.
But anyway, Tony, you're a husband, a father. Let's tell me, what's your favorite part about being a dad?
Oh, being a dad, being a girl dad is amazing. Yeah. You know,
yeah, two daughters.
No, just Lexi over here.
Sorry. Yeah. I had two.
And no, but just the women rule the roost. I've learned that. So it's what mom and my daughter want is the most important thing. So you know, it's also it softens you. Which is good, is a good thing. As far as like, I'm trying to think of how to put that into words.
Makes you more in touch with your emotions.
Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, I'm naturally, I have a pretty emotional, I come from an emotional background, family wise, had parents that were, very emotional people. They were doers, they were big time givers and, so I learned that at a very young age, not only how to treat a woman, but to have manners and how to help others. It's kind of ingrained in me at a young age. So. Yeah.
And it's amazing how much manners have kind of just gone out the window.
It's insane. Sad.
Insane.
Sad. I love going south in our country. Murph, I know he gets to go to places like Miami fairly frequently, but what I love every time I go south is, it's amazing how good of manners they are. I mean, some people might have an issue with how they, you know, how they got this and that on their trucks and all this other stuff. We don't want to go down that bandwagon, but the respect and the handshakes and, the, you know,
hold
young,
the door open.
Young kids that, you know, the boys that, you know, my daughter maybe they may be hanging out with and just friendly people down there. And then just they come and introduce themselves to her and her friend that would go on vacation with us. And they come and introduce themselves. The first thing they do is shake my hand. And it's a good handshake. It's not like, you know. Yeah.
Dead fish.
Yeah. So really cool. I don't see it enough in St. Louis. And so that bothers me because I don't know if it's just the area of the country we're in. I don't want to sit here and say it's horrible parenting per se. I just don't know if it's like practiced.
I mean, it's one of those things that being able to be polite and be organized and to take care of yourself is not the same respect it was even when me and Zach are like only a few weeks apart in age. Like when I was a kid, my mom raised me in a restaurant, and this was the restaurant she made her living at. So she put some things into me very, very quickly. Look people in the eye, shake their hand. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. You're going to be polite. You're going to be friendly. You're going to be impressive because these people help pay our bills. But even after that, she was like, I don't want to tell you this, but like most of your friends talk like they have a mouth full of shit. You won't do that. So I don't think that's necessary because now you talk to kids who are being raised, and I'm talking more like single digit age right now. To speak to them that directly is like, oh, you might offend their identity. And it's like, okay.
Fuck that.
Is it parents that are doing that? Or do you think it's just that they're tied to electronic devices so much?
Both.
Just, I think it's that. It's
taking their focus away from
that and then
being a good
the education wise, like what they're learning in school. And you know, there's a lot of things that tie into that, but I mean, I make sure that my kids, I've got a 4 and 5 year old, and I speak to them very directly. And I'm always talking like, we're working manners. You're like, go shake hands, look them in the eye. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you. Please. All the things. And like, they'll come and like, dad, I want this. I'm like, is that how you ask? And like, dad, can I please have this? And when I give it to him, I said, what do you say? Like, thank you, dad. And like, just so they just I don't think they practice. Like, I remember when I was in middle school, we had an etiquette and manners class at Oakville Middle School.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very cool. Like, we took a field trip to this really nice restaurant, and they basically, they served us, and we got graded on the etiquette of how we spoke, how we ate, whether how the utensils that we used. Like, that was a class. It was,
really?
It was great, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, but they'll tell you that today is, like, classist. They'll be like, oh, they're teaching you to be an oppressor who goes to fancy dining and says please and thank you and holds their fork correctly.
Yeah, well. Worked out well.
Yeah, you turned out all right, Pat.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go. Oh yeah, tell us a little bit about the gym you're working on at. Are you you're training at Hunter Bodies, right?
I am.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Keith Fisher, senior, great guy in the industry. Grew up in bodybuilding, George Turner's gym way back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. I mean, he learned from George Turner. Some people hear this may know that name, but George was big in the bodybuilding community and. United States, kind of the grandfather. Or, I'm sorry, in the St. Louis area. I'm sorry, kind of the grandfather of St. Louis area for bodybuilding. So Keith learned under him, and I took some of his posing classes for myself, and then I sent a couple of my clients there that were competing to do his posing classes downtown when he was at a gym down there off of St. Charles Avenue. I'm trying to remember the name. I don't know if anybody here could help me with that. I can't think of it right now. It wasn't Fit City. It's down there. Kevin Jordan.
Oh, Fitness Factory.
Fitness Factory.
Yeah. Yep.
So he was down at Fitness Factory, and he was working with his own clients there and stuff like that. So Keith decided to open his own gym finally, and he wanted to take that leap of faith and do his own thing. So he opened a gym and off of a Hunter and off of Hanley Industrial Court across from Maplewood Commons, where the big Walmart and all that stuff's right in there. Really cool gym, man. Good story, and. You know, mostly set up for personal training, but I absolutely have memberships as well. What we like about it is it's not, and there's a place for box gyms. I worked out at box gyms, bigger, larger corporate gyms my whole life. This fitness, I worked out there for over 10 years. So there's something to be said about that environment as well. But with his what's unique about his gym is you're going to go in and you're going to feel like it's your own gym. You're not going to feel like you got to hop over four or five people flipping around on their phone. You won't have that aggravation. You may not have as many interactions with as many people, but if you're there to work out, then that's where you want to go. I mean, you're actually going to get a workout.
That's what the gym's for, right?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and it's an uplifting environment, meaning everybody's there to make everyone better. And that's our main focus there is to just, you're going to be better when you walk out of here than when you walked in. You're going to have something to take away. Maybe you're going to learn something, but you're also going to have an awesome workout. So I've had some people I know that have come over there and gotten, memberships, but I'm working with all different types of people. We work with a lot of people in their 50s and 60s. We work with young athletes that are wanting to get on stage for the first time. I have a female who's working with me directly, personal training and online, and she's going to compete in her first show in her 40s this come April. So she comes all the way from Edwardsville, Illinois. So she saw the value of the gym. Saw you could find them on Facebook. Keith is also a sponsor. I believe he's sponsored through First Form as well. So there's a tie in that. He's a great ambassador for the fitness industry. He's done a lot of stuff and helped a lot of people over the years, and you know, and it shows by the mannerism. So he was a guy I wanted to work for, and he reached out to me and said, "Hey, we need you in the gym. I need somebody with your expertise, your tenure, your ability to connect with people." And he just known me from his classes and then saw me on social media. So I was really humbled to be asked and to be called to come to work with him. So it's been a blessing for me. It's opened up an ability for me to add more value to my new clients and to touch more people, which is really what I care most about. So
yeah,
really cool. And monetarily, it also helps, obviously.
Of course. So now are you still do online coaching or is it just, okay.
Yeah. I do both. Okay. So what you do find in the personal training and online training space is it's an either or for a lot of people because to do both is very expensive. Depending on how you look at money. Like for me, it's like, I'm all in on my health. I don't count the money I spend on my health on supplementation, coaching. I just don't, you know, I count the money on what I spend going out to have a drink or to spend money going out to dinner where other people, they spend frivolous on that.
Right.
I choose not to. And it's everybody's different.
Right.
So what I'm going to say that there is people that'll get some personal training and they'll just do it for a little bit, certain amount of sessions. And then they'll learn enough to be able to work out properly on their own and take away those mannerisms. But then they may hire you as an online coach, which is a little more in depth. Mm. That's check-ins weekly, pictures, a lot more accountability, a lot more getting to know the client personally. So it's really cool. I really like it. And the ability to work with people all over the world. One thing that I do like is I do videos with my clients, especially ones that aren't local, because I want them to be able to see my face and have that connection. Mm-hmm. Where if I just send a blind email, it's like it only goes so deep. I mean, it can be misrepresented in an email. Like, people can misunderstand what you're saying.
Sure.
Whereas if you're verbally saying it. So I really like the ability to do both within the way I coach. So it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the benefit of where we're at with technology now. I mean, you can do these video calls, and right. It's kind of like you're in the room with the person. And, you know, because like you said, people can misread what comes through in text. You know, there's no tone. There's no,
right.
You know, there's where they, what do they say that conversations are only like 10%, like the actual dialogue, and like 90% how it's delivered, and, you know, how it comes across, and how the person's what's the word I'm looking for? Not mannerisms, just delivery, I guess. I don't know.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't think of the word out either.
But regardless, yeah. So, I mean, just when we're only texting stuff, that's why, you know, I'll have texts that come through, and it's like, oh, they sound like they're mad at me. Yeah. You know, it's like, are they, but they're not. It's just, that's how that person texts or whatever, you know, or I'm just reading it wrong, or I'm being too, looking into it too much, or whatever it is. But,
or when they send a text, they're on the run.
Right.
You know, or they use the voice to text real quick, and it wasn't like,
you know, right. No. Or I use the voice to text, and it comes across like wrong, or, you know, miss says what I'm saying, or, you know, and, or sometimes you just type things and fumble things and just sound silly with the way it comes off.
Something just popped in my head. It's almost like when you talk to Siri, if you're an Apple person, or Alexa, right?
Yeah.
You say something and it doesn't say it right, and you just get all ticked off. You're like,
yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. So you want to do the tombstone?
Yeah. So yeah. We end every episode with a special question, kind of throw people off guard. So here lies Tony. What's it say on your tombstone?
Oh, impacted many people.
Love it.
Short and sweet.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Kind of embodies everything that we've already talked about today. So it makes sense.
It's perfect. Well, Tony, is there anything else you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, I want to plug you guys. I want to say thank you very much for having me on. I know it was a little bit of a last minute thing.
Yeah, but
like you said, you were going to at some point anyway, and I'm glad it worked out in the schedule. I think what you guys are doing is great. I think podcasts in general, just giving people the opportunity to actually hear more about what people truly are about, because it's hard to get on a podcast and like not be who you really are.
Right. You can't fake it.
It's
There's
really
no way.
Hard because you're, so it's a great segue for people in general, and not only in small businesses, but just to make connections, like real connections. Like, you know, it's not like, hey, I'm just having a conversation with this person at a coffee shop, but I walk away and I really don't give a crap about them. It's different. You know, it's a real genuine, it's usually, it's productive for both sides. It's a win-win is what I call this.
Yeah. So, we're, you know, 70 something episodes in, and it's like, we've gotten a little education from this, you know. It's like, I've learned something from every person that we have on. And, you know, it's how often do we sit down across the table from someone and have an uninterrupted conversation for an hour? Like, it's pretty rare these days that we're not looking at our phone. We're not answering an email. We're not doing whatever. Like, how often do you sit across from someone and have a conversation for an hour? That's my favorite part about it.
Yeah.
Well, and I like with podcasts, I think people reach out to you to be on their podcast because there's something about you that they like. And then the person that accepts being on a podcast is because they feel the same way.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like a mutual, hey, we respect, mutual respect. That's what I like about it. 100%. So like when Murph walked in, I was like, I respect the hell of that guy. So I've seen his work. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, cool that he's actually doing your guys podcast.
And,
and you mentioned Matt Vogt doing his one. It's like, I love hearing these stories because people are just trying to be better.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
No one's doing this to be not a better person. We're trying to bring more value.
Right.
It's, having a podcast is bringing value.
Right.
It's not look at me. I'm cool.
Yeah,
I'm
look at me. I got a show. I got it's a microphone. Not,
right. You know? And that's the thing is, like, most of the podcasts with our guests is we're not talking all that much. We're just, hey, tell your story. We want you to say everything that you need to say in the time frame that we're going for. So,
yeah.
Well, man, I appreciate you guys very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And keep watching your careers, and I'll keep saying prayers for you guys to keep fostering and growing within what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Now that I know you're a dad of two young ones as well, and then Murph may or may not be leaving us to a different city. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
You guys are, what's going on here? But
yeah.
But appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. And you guys have an awesome rest of your week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You too.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, everybody, for taking time out of your day to listen or watch this episode. If you could, please click that subscribe button. That helps us out a ton. So hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, comment what you guys thought below, and we'll see you next time.